Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another episode of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, February 26th of 2020. It's hard to believe it, February 26th. Only 3 days left of February. Yes, I said three, because this year, February, has a leap year in it. A leap day in it, because every 4 years it does. It has to do with the suns. I heard a joke, and this is the closest you'll hear me get to politics tonight. This is the closest you're going to hear me get. I heard a joke that the reason there was a leap, that there were leap years, was because, you know, how the president runs every 4 years. The joke is that there's that extra day because the candidates need that extra day to run and be able to do campaign work. rallies, etc. But turns out that's not the real reason. I already knew that wasn't the real reason. That is a joke. Have you heard that joke before, Megan, or no? And I can see some of those pundits saying that.
Yeah.
By pundits, I don't mean like necessarily those against a certain part. I just mean like those people who, like Rush Limbaugh and such, who talk about that for a living. That's what I meant, you know. Yeah, some of these broadcasters. But the real reason has to do with the sun. It just happens to be that those are the certain years in which we elect a president. That's why we have 29 days that has to do with the sun thing. And that February is the only month that doesn't have 30 or 31 days. The bad thing out of all this is that every 4 years we have to deal with an extra day of winter. Do I like that? No. As some of you can kind of tell by that passion in my voice, I do not like it. I am ready for winter to be done with and to enjoy some 50s and 60s to start with. I was going to say 70s, but we'll have to see if we can have a miracle March, or at least a miracle day in March. Have you, Megan, have you heard of the term Miracle March before? And if you have, what do you think it means?
No, I have not heard of it before.
Well, in the skiing industry, especially out west, as from what you've heard, the biggest like ski industry in America is like way out west, in like Colorado and the Rockies and all those places.
Yeah.
They say Miracle March means a March that is characterized by either a lot of snow, could even be a March in which it was real sluggish towards the start, maybe a little less snowy and maybe a little warmer than normal, and then suddenly towards the end it gets a lot more snow. So it could mean either one of those. That's in the skiing world, that means like there ends up being a lot of snow. In my mind, when I talk about Miracle March, it means that this doesn't necessarily mean that the whole month is above normal temperature-wise by any means, but it could mean that maybe it started a bit below normal. There could have even been some record lows. Who knows? Maybe some snow records set. Hopefully not for the month, but even for the date. And then somehow, some way within the month, we're able to, in a miracle march, we're able to reach 70 or higher. But to be a miracle march, it has to be more than like one or two times, once or twice. That makes sense, doesn't it? Something you rarely ever get. Does that make sense? We have not had a 70 degree here in Central Michigan, points north. We have not had a 70 degree day in March since 2012. I believe it was March 23rd of 2012, actually, maybe March 21st. So that is almost 8 years. 7 Marches we went without a day. For that, we hit 70 degree day. We hit 70 in March in 2010, the very last day, 09, 07, 06, yep. And some years even before that in my lifetime. March-wise, my first March was actually 1990. It's pretty impressive that we went 7 years without it, don't you think? Something's got to give. I hope something will give. I'm not going to, there's two different weather apps I'll use. One is WeatherBug, the other is AccuWeather. I'm not going to look at the two-week weather forecast again for AccuWeather for this area until we get to March 1st. Because then I can have a better idea as to whether or not I think we could make it in the first half of the month, 15 days. For at least for the first week, we're not going to hit it. But we'll have to wait and see. You'll have to be very far south to get 70s the first 7 days, but we'll have to see with the air masses and what have you. No, I am not a meteorologist. I think it would have been cool, though, but you've got to be able to see stuff. And who knows? Maybe when my healing gets manifest, maybe I will look into something like that. Because I've always had a passion for that kind of stuff. I always have. I'm trying to look at data generally from my lifetime and even comparing cities based on what I remember approximately it being around here. Especially in the summer. Example, I can remember a time in about mid-August of 1999. Around here, the day had been somewhat warm, but then the night got rather chilly. Kind of remembering that, I decided to compare it to some cities to the south. I looked at like 3 or 4 different places, maybe 5. They all had something in common, though. They were all along the I-75 corridor. And obviously, 75 obviously can't just run straight through. There's curves here and there, you know how that is. But generally speaking, where we had lows in like the upper 40s, low 50s, one or two of those nights, one of those days close as Cincinnati, Ohio, Lexington, Kentucky, record highs, August 13th, 1999, that day actually set a record, 98 degrees, where here it had been like 79, 80. I think I focused so much on looking at down there that I forgot to see what it was here. That'd be kind of fun. That'd be funny if I checked out that certain date and found out that here was actually like 84 or whatever. That'd be weird, wouldn't it? Especially being it went down to the 40s And I know it didn't rain, but another thing of note that was a big surprise, how many hot days, how many of the hot days that we had were one of the cities I think I've studied the most in depth, besides like around here, is probably Chattanooga. And what surprised me was someone in particular, two of the hottest days that we had here were also two of Chattanooga's hottest. Keep in mind that that's like 700 and some miles away. The jet stream can be different. But that is kind of interesting, isn't it? You would think that some of those days would be different. Even it, like every year, you would think there'd be some differences, wouldn't you think? Megan, you would think there'd be differences, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I do.
You would, but it's kind of surprising that like three or four, maybe even five of those days that were among our hottest here were also the hottest there. Because
yeah.
Sometimes down in the south, sometimes there'll be some days where we're actually hotter than the south. You've heard of that before, haven't you? But down there it might not necessarily be that it's raining. It could just be that that big dome didn't go as far south.
Right.
You know, and sometimes that happens. But it is kind of interesting. So that being said, we'll have to wait and see what March brings us. We did get an inch of snow today, and horrible. It's an inch of snow. We're used to it. I'm so glad you could be a part of the show tonight. And I'm really glad you could join us. I pray that you would be blessed tonight, that God would bless you for tuning in. And I know the Lord has something great for you. And I want to remind you again, Holy Spirit Conference next week, Living Word Church, Tuesday night to Friday night, 2010 North Stark Road, mile north of US 10. Be a part of that conference if you can at all. Stream, go live. Bingo. But if you choose to go to this conference, or even if you choose to stream it, be expecting. For those of you who are going to stream it, expect God to move. You're going to stream a morning session, stream a night session, pray first. Just have that expectation for God to move, expecting things to be broken, the old things to be broken, expecting God to impart things into you. Obviously, screaming is not the same as being there live, but still, screaming all the time. Amen. And so, I'm looking forward to it. It's my second most favorite conference of the year, I would say, after only Invasion. What I love about the Holy Spirit Conference is that the focus of the conference is on the Holy Spirit. Nothing wrong with Ministry of Helps at all. Nothing wrong with leadership at all. Both of these are very important. Nothing wrong with the ladies' meeting. The ladies need a weekend too. Great. And, of course, and during the women's meeting on Friday night and Saturday night, men are not welcome to attend. But the funny thing is men are not, well, anyone can stream it, which is kind of funny. But, I know the one night I tuned in to part of the worship, one of those nights, and I think, yeah, it was Friday night at the women's conference, but then when they were done worshiping, I was like, okay, I'm shutting it off. They can have their time, and I'm not going to be peering through the screen. But I'm really looking forward to the conference, and I'm expecting God to move on my behalf. My prayer is that you'll be expecting the same thing. And that's what I'm believing for. Also, programming note is that Tuesday and Wednesday, there will be shows both nights. They will just be earlier. Canceling those shows. I don't want to cancel them. I'm not interested in canceling them. So I'm not gonna. They're just gonna be earlier. They might be only an hour instead of the full length, but we're gonna do it. Plus, Wednesday night, this will give me an opportunity to talk to you about how the first night went. And then when I come back a week from this coming Monday, I'll be able to talk about what happened at that conference. And by the way, I wanted to remind you again that Senator Santorum will be there the first night of the conference. And no, don't just stay away or not stream just because it's a senator. No, I doubt he's going to speak about politics. I know for many of you, you're seeing enough of it right now. But he's going to talk about, I think he's going to talk about American liberty, how America was founded on liberty and freedom. He might give a pitch about why voting is so, why it's so important that we vote in this election, but that's about all I expect to hear from him about politics. I won't be mad if he says more than that by any means, but it's just what I expect. So, just be aware of that. Plan for tonight is we're going to sing, then we're going to go to Matthew 8 and continue dealing with teachings of Jesus, and then we'll exhort about that. And then after that, we'll talk about our sports, as we generally do. And a nice win by Michigan State. Before that, a couple more. Another quick thing. Cedar Point is doing a certain promotion, which is giving participants who play this game a chance to win a lifetime pass to Cedar Point for four people. Time pass. Oh, that would be a dream come true. All the dragster rides I could want. The Millennium Force. Yeah. Wouldn't that be, Megan, wouldn't that be awesome? Yes. Yes, it would. And it would just be really neat to win it. I got to look at the news article to see what it is that you have to do, because I am going to enter my name in. It is the because of the 150th anniversary of Cedar Point. 150 years. That's older than any of us on this, living on this planet now. Any of us by about like 30, 35 years. So that's crazy to think about. 150 years. And so I can't wait to see all the other stuff they're going to do. And when I go this year, I'm going to make sure it's going to be one something cool event commemorating the 150th is taking place. So we'll just have to wait and see. Also, I wanted you to notify you that McDonald's is now having their breakfast McChicken sandwich. I have not tried it yet. I can't wait to, though. I hope it's just as crispy as the regular McChicken. We'll have to wait and see. I wonder if they do the breakfast McChicken at dinner or lunch. It's one of these days I'm going to see. But I'll have to wait and see. And then there's that bacon at Wendy's. Nope. Not going to talk about the rival. Nope. I ain't going to do it. Uh-uh. But wasn't that funny the way I said that? Uh-uh. But they are doing a breakfast baconator. So, now, I want to encourage you listeners to please, please, please tell others how they can be a part of this great show. And I'm going to take a minute right now and talk to you folks about, this is so you can tell other people, what is the show about? The Man Show is called the Miracle Man Show because, of course, I'm the Miracle Man. And the reason why we have nicknamed me the Miracle Man on my show is because I believe in miracles, and I am believing God to continue to do miracles in my life. I've seen many miracles in my life. Jesus has healed my hand from warts. He's healed my cancer. He's healed my immune system. He's healed my kidneys. He's just, I've had so many victories and miracles take place in my life. And I'm going to conquer even more stuff than what I've already conquered. The victory, and I also I believe the victory is greater than the battle. A couple other beliefs I have. Oh, that's the last belief I'm going to share. I believe that we are real people. We have real problems, but we serve a real God. And he is well able to deliver us. Also, I am not a Bible-thumping bully. I'm not a bully, but I'm not a Bible-thumping bully either. I'm just a born again, spirit filled, water baptized man, fire baptized man of God who loves God. And I'm excited about God. And I believe in the Bible, so that's why I teach the Bible. That's why the Bible is our text here on the show. And we always, we are focused on Hebrews 11:1, the chapter of Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. That's our text. I'm going to start bringing that back out. I'm convinced, listeners, I have to start bringing that back out. Because it's been so long since I've read it. On the show, I mean. Yes, I read it at home, but I mean on the show. And so, that's a bit about my beliefs. You see, why do you talk about sports? Because my dream has always been to be a sports broadcaster for a radio station somewhere. Or to be a stadium announcer somewhere. And have everybody fired up. But now you can tell prospective listeners that the best way to be a part is to call into the show. The number to call in if you want to either to listen in or to, the number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Again, that number is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts, and when you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. You can go ahead and press 1. You will be taken through a call screener. My assistant will let me know that we have, and then I'm going to let you talk to me about generally anything you want to talk about. Hopefully we can have some great callers tonight. But first, before I pray, open the Word of God. I want to sing a song for you. So, it goes like this. Let me think here. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Your come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence. Your presence, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your power. Oh, Holy Spirit, how we love you tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence working in us. I can feel your presence in the atmosphere, Lord. I just thank you, Lord God, that you're working on the lives of these people while listening to the show. Working on their midst, working on my midst, that you are just working on our hearts, working on our lives. Just we come to you seeking you. We want more of you, Jesus, less of ourselves. I just thank you, Lord God, that you are working on the inside of us. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I make my confession over the show. I claim that sponsors and partners are coming into this program. I thank you, Lord God, that finances are coming into this program. Thank you that sponsor, that increases in listenership, big increases in listenership, are coming into this program. And most of all, Lord God, I thank you that souls are coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to Matthew 8. Woo! Praise God. Matthew 8. And we're going to see what all God has for us tonight. Oh, that was Matthew 10. I don't want that. T just giving the Miracle Man a minute to find a spot. I'm there. If people, then good job. If not, then oh well. We're going to begin with verse 1 of Matthew 9. Praise God. Matthew 8, 1. So we're going to begin with verse 1. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt down before him, and he said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand, and he touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you do not tell anyone. Go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Verse 5 now. This is where we talk about the faith of the centurion. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home, sick and paralyzed." Didn't say sick, it said paralyzed. "He lies at home, paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and to that one, come, and he comes, and say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished, and he said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found any in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will be taken. They will take their places at the feast of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it will be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that very hour. When Jesus came to Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her with her hand, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on them. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all of their sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our infirmities and carried, or we can say bore, our sicknesses, our diseases, actually. He carried, I like to say he bore our diseases. He bore them. Verse 18 now. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. Another disciple said to him, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus told him, Follow me. And let the dead go bury their own dead. Let the dead bury their own dead.
Verse 23.
Jesus got into the boat with his disciples, following him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, Oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. Why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Verse 28. Then he arrived at the other side in the region of the Gadarenes. Two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way.
A son of God,
they shouted.
Have you come here to destroy us? Have you come to torture us before the appointed time?
A large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs. He said to them, Go. They came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town, and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. You see, in this chapter, is Jesus doing a lot of miracles. He healed a man who was a leper. We'll start with this guy. This guy has leprosy. And a person who has leprosy is not supposed to be out in the public when they have leprosy. They're supposed to be in their own leper colony. If by chance a leper is out in the public, they're supposed to yell out, Leper, stay away from me. I have leprosy. That's what they're supposed to say. But this guy said, Lord, you're willing. You can make me clean. Well, I don't know if they were new. He was new to following Jesus or what? Jesus was very willing. And he healed. Now in the story of Luke, one of the stories in Luke where Jesus heals lepers, there's 10 different. There's the 10 lepers. All of them, they came up to Jesus and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They did not yell the stuff that they were supposed to yell. They were supposed to yell, leper, stay away from me, I have leprosy. But that's not what they did. They yelled, Jesus, Master. And you know what? He had mercy on them. All 10 were cleansed. Then Jesus talks to the disciples about it later, and he says, a little while later, one of the 10 comes back to thank Jesus for healing him. It explains, you know, I was one of the 10. Then Jesus asks him, where are the other 9? Weren't all 10 of you cleansed? Where are the other 9? Just think, if you're a pastor of a church and you got some faithful people, but you have a lot of others who left, and Jesus will say, hey, good boy. Pastor will say, yes, yes, Jesus. Where are the other disciples? Where'd they go? And then I have to tell Pastor. Pastor, I have to tell Jesus, I don't know, Lord. They all got caught up in their own stuff. Those disciples, you see, but that other one of those 10, one of those 10, the one who came back and thanked Jesus, he was made completely whole. He wasn't just healed anymore. He became whole, completely made whole. And that leprosy could never, ever, ever return. And the scary thing is some of the diseases of yesteryear are starting to come back to life. Some of those things that we thought we had eradicated. Look at measles last year, all the cases we had in Michigan. And we thought it was eradicated by vaccination. But then, don't be one of those people that just decides to leave Jesus and go your own way. And I got my healing, so now why do I have to serve Jesus anymore? And yes, when the manifestation happens, no, I'm not leaving God. No. I'm going to be like one of those 10. I'm going to be like that one who thanked Jesus right there. When he came back and thanked Jesus. But the other, I'm not going to be like one of those other 9. And the other 9, they all just went on their own way and didn't do, they didn't come back so they could receive all the benefits that Jesus had for them. So, to Matthew 8, talked about the first story. Let's deal with the next story, chapter 8. So, that centurion He was so, I love how humble he was. He was so humble. He admitted to Jesus right there, "Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. Just speak the word and so my servant can be healed." That servant was healed that very hour. And so it was awesome. And he was healed right there at that very hour. An evening came and he would visit what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. And I want to deal with this verse right now. 8:17. Jesus took, actually it says, he took our infirmities, and bore our sicknesses. You know what this means? You don't have to stay sick. You don't have to stay bound. I don't think this verse is only dealing with, you know, the sicknesses of your body, whether it be cancer, whether it be heart disease, diabetes, or any other of these terrible diseases. And influenza, and Jesus made a way so you don't have to stay sick. And you don't have to catch coronavirus. You don't. And I speak and I take authority over that coronavirus. It's not going to catch me. It's not going to get you. It's not going to get us. We're going to stay free and healed and whole. And that coronavirus is not coming to us. But he is. But then, so I just wanted you to have that verse. Then he gets into the crossfire. Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go. Let's get into this Jesus calms the storm. Jesus got to the boat, the disciples were them. That's a storm came with a warning. And the winds were just wind and the waves were just shaking the boat. Boat was getting all swamped, all full of water. It was going crazy. And they didn't have no national weather service back then to issue a special marine warning or a lakeshore flood advisory or any of that. They didn't have that back then. Didn't have it. Jesus was sleeping. The disciples get up. And they wake up Jesus. They're saying, "Get up, Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord. Lord. See, we're about to drown." I'm sure they were yelling louder than I was. Some of them were probably screaming to the top of their lungs. But then Jesus said something to them. He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" So I have to ask you a question, listeners. What are you so afraid of? Are you afraid of the storm when that wind is just wind? And those waves are just some waves. It doesn't say what category storm. They didn't have the Simpson scale at the time to rate it. A cat 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But this was on a lake, not an ocean, so. And it wasn't like that modern technology to say these winds are at, we'll say, 35 or 40 knots with waves of 5 to 8 feet, we'll say, to start with. I imagine these were more than these, you know, 10 to 20 knot waves of 1 to 3 feet. But, like, it was a point where it was a hazard. But Jesus was asking, why are you so afraid? Why don't you have faith? They had Jesus right in front of them. As Jesus was on the earth in human form at the time. And they'd seen him do all these miracles. They'd seen him do miracles previously. But rather than trusting in him at that moment, they decided to focus on the fear of a little windy roller coaster type ride, some turbulence. And, yeah, dealing with some turbulence, some wind, some waves. And having to wake up Jesus as he was taking a little nap. But my question to you again is, are you afraid of? Are you afraid that Jesus won't come through when you need him to? When you go through the storms of life, because these storms of life, they're going to come. But though the storms will come, you have a choice. When I go through stuff, am I going to trust in the Lord? Or am I going to allow myself to walk in fear and be afraid all the time? Even when these... you know, how high they may be. So the question becomes, are you going to live in faith? When I hear of people, like example, Vicki Barclay, my pastor's wife, when Vicki was diagnosed with cancer, him and Dr. Barclay had to make a choice. Do I live in faith? Do I live in faith or fear? And they get told, you know, this cancer kills most women who get it. Thank God for them it was a church night. So they get back to church. They worship God like never before. And pastor, later on, he ends up thanking Craig. I didn't know this, honestly, on that day. It wasn't until later that we found out that Vicki had cancer. But then he testified and how she was healed. And she chose to walk by faith, as did Dr. Barclay. And whenever you're going through the battle. You got to choose. Am I going to go in fear? Or am I going to put on the armor of God? Have a belt of truth around my waist. Put on the boots of peace. Let's pray to righteousness. The sword of the spirit. The shield of faith. The helmet of salvation. And the different pieces that come with the armor of God. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you will be able to withstand the evil day. Put on part of it. There's a part of it that might seem decent for you to put on. You got to put on the whole thing. And not just the part that feels good. Because as you go through this life, you know there's battles. But you got to choose fear or faith. Do I want to live in fear or do I want to get free? And yell, I'm afraid. Or you're going to yell, I'm an overcomer. Because God wants us to be overcomers. Not be afraid all the time. Because living in fear is not a good place to be. Fear we should be having is fearing God. That's the only fear we should be having. That's it. Not all this other fear. So. And then, towards the end of that, Jesus got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and it became completely calm. And the disciples asked, they went as far as to ask, what kind of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? Wow, think about that. They actually ask, what kind of man is this, Jesus? Who is this feller? That even the winds and the waves are kind of guy. Is that the wind is able to do this. And so these guys, they just, I don't know why they were dealing with so much doubt. But they were. They had Jesus right in front of them. They decided not to believe. Then Jesus, towards the end of the chapter, he heals a couple of people who are demon-possessed. And, you know, he's so violent that no one can go by. And they say, those men are like, you know, have you heard of torturers? And then these men, these demons, are allowed by Jesus to go right out into that herd of pigs. And those pigs, they are some critters. They're not just some little cutie little nope. They're dangerous. But they're so violent that no one can pass their way. Those two men were before they get delivered. They are just everything else, but then they get healed. Because they didn't want to see it. Sad you see, because they'll always make a point. What's he doing? Several different places, Jesus does miracles, and they say, can't heal on the Sabbath. What you doing here? What's all this about? Is it easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise up and walk? These sad, you see, just coming up with stuff to say. What you said, you see. If only it meant. They chose to. They would have chose to worship God, but they didn't. And those Sadducees, you know, when stuff's going on all around you, you gotta choose to live in faith, not fear. Because fear will say, I don't know, I'm afraid. Is he going to move or isn't he? Is God going to come through and do what I'm asking him to do or not? That's fear talk. You don't need to be doing that fear talk. Instead, you got to be saying, I know Jesus is going to come through for me. I know who I am believing in. I know. Praise God. That's the kind of stuff. Rather than just living in fear, because fear can hold you back, and it will keep you from a lot of things that you may later find out that you like to do. Example. Now, I love roller coasters and to ride on big rides. When I was little, though, I used to be afraid of the little wagon at the fair. There were other little rides I could ride just fine. But then one day I was super afraid of the wagon at the fair. I was real afraid of the wagon at the fair, getting some certain noise or something. And I was basically like, get me off! And I was just in a, I don't know what was going on and why I was so afraid of that thing. But now I love the big rides. And some of the big rides, it took me some getting used to. But I decided I wasn't going to let fear get in the way anymore. Because fear and anxiety, God does not want you to be anxious. Jesus said, be anxious for nothing. So, instead of living in fear, you know, you got to ask Jesus to deliver you from that fear, whatever it is, so that you can't just keep being fearful. And it's crazy some of the things people will get fearful over. I mean, yeah, fear of heights, you know, fear of this, fear of that. I'm not saying these fears are good, but they have these different things that they are found to be afraid of. But there were other things too. And what did I do? Rather than be afraid, I chose to be free rather than to be afraid. There was actually a fair ride that I was on with one of my cousins at the Midland County Fair. It was the Zipper. And I'm on it having a good time. My cousin's like, I don't feel so well. And she's like, I don't know if I'm, Riv, I don't know if I'm sick or afraid. And I kept saying to her, I kept saying, thinking this as we were on the ride, God has not given me a spirit of fear. God has not given me a spirit of fear. He's given me a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a sound mind. And I just kept saying that through the ride, albeit enjoying it. This was only the second or third time I had ridden the Zipper. And it's really wobbly and that. Now, thankfully, they have a sturdier Zipper. But it was really wobbly. So, but I kept telling her, you know, God has not given me a spirit of fear. Give me a spirit of power, spirit of love, and a sound mind. And I'm up going on some other rides and having a good time, as they say. Because I love some Good old fair rides. Sadly, that was in a day when Midland County Fair had a lot bigger, more bigger rides, and our Midway has since fallen into disrepair of sorts with not as many big rides. Don't you feel like Midway isn't what it once was, Megan?
I think we got rid of a lot of the good rides.
What year did you first start going to Midland Fair?
I went to Clare County Fair my entire life.
I'm talking about Midland.
I've only went to Midland Fair once.
And when was it?
2 years ago.
Then how did you know what Midland Fair was like back in 2013 and prior? How did you know? You heard some things?
For auctions because we were in Clare County Fair.
Was she going there like in the 2000s?
Yep.
As recent as like 2013?
Yeah, I believe she went to 2013.
That was the last one? Like 2012 or something?
2012.
But she even said that that was a much better day for the Midland Fair, basically?
Yeah, the fair used to be better. It's not as active.
I will agree because I knew how it was. I was seeing what you had heard because I'm from this area, so I've been going to that fair for, I've been a yearly attender since like 2002, 2003, since that I've been actually going every year and riding all the big rides at least one day of the year, I would say since 2004 or 2005. And I have to say, but what happened was the company who was doing the Midland Fair for like 7, 8, 9, 10 years decided to retire.
Uh-huh.
What happened? That's what you heard too?
Yeah, they used to be the Midland Fair and Clare County Fair used to be at different times, and sometimes the rides from Clare County would go to Midland.
It was Midland that would go to Clare. That's why that did happen once. Clare only had Play World for a couple of years, though. And for a couple of years, it was right after Midland. You remember hearing that, too?
Yeah.
But what Clare got was a more limited version of what Midland had because other rides from Midland had to go out of state. You remember that, too?
Yeah, and Clare's.
So they couldn't fit all of Clare's on the They couldn't fit everything onto Midland's big midway. I mean, onto Clare's little midway is what I meant. Now whose midway has more rides on it, or is it about equal? It's about equal. 3, maybe 4 big rides. We had a lot more. We used to have a lot more, and it's sad that we don't. But like I said, those were the days. But a few years after, the fair even got better than what it was in 2008. 2013, I think, was the best Midland Fair midway ever. Was 2013, and that thing. Oh, what I would do to see a midway like that again. Oh, what I would do to see a midway like that here in Midland. But point of all this is, you can just take authority over that fear. And not let fear grip you anymore. You don't need to live in fear. You need to live in faith. Living in wisdom, awesome. But you don't need to live in fear. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this message tonight. Thank you for the stories we read about tonight where you healed all those people. And those people who got free from those things and got delivered from those demons. And Lord God, I take a moment right now. I bind the spirit of fear that is on these people listening to this program, whatever fear they have. I rebuke fear. I rebuke anxiety. I rebuke all these different phobias that aren't of you. I break them in your name, Jesus, because you did not give us a spirit of fear. You gave us spirit of love and a sound mind. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Now, sports. Michigan State struggled in the first half against Iowa, comes back to win 78-70. Cassius Winston really rebounded from his rough first half and ended up with a great second half and was able to get a good win for Michigan State, who is looking to increase their chances of winning a Big Ten title championship and hopefully a high seed in the NCAA tournament, which will culminate in a Final Four in ATL. The beautiful city of ATL. It's been my favorite place in America. They keep playing. It's sad to see what's happening with the Pistons and Red Wings right now. It's sad. Neither one of them are doing very well. When you trade away a lot of your great players, that doesn't necessarily help you. And if anything, it can hurt you. It really can hurt you. I'm convinced of this. Tigers spring training continues and continue to see what happens. I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no evil shall befall us, no plague shall come nigh our dwelling. For you, Lord, have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. No drunk driver, no rapist, no murderer, no burglar, no suicide, no fire, no flood, no crash, no terrorist, no sickness, no disease, none of that coronavirus. We're going to live in great peace and great joy and prosperity and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. Sure love you, listeners. All right. God always. So long, everybody.